One of the most controversial questions that has been asked and will continue to be asked in our society and in our world is that which regards salvation. In fact, if you ask the question regarding in what is salvation found, more than likely you're going to receive as many answers as there are at least religious bodies in the world, and probably more answers than that. It's a question about which the answer is very confused, is misunderstood, is not studied out as it should be. And many times because of preconceived notions, prejudices, things of that nature that we have within our minds. This morning we want to notice this question, in what is salvation found? And I want us to, for this morning and hopefully for all of our lives, put away maybe some prejudices that we have, put away some preconceived notions, put away some things that maybe we have held with us all of our lives, and I want us to look at what the Bible says about salvation. Can salvation be found in any other than God? Well, certainly not. And if salvation can be found in no other than God, would it not seem to be logical then to turn to God for the answer? And God provides the answer. In Acts 4 and verse 12, Luke wrote, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That was written concerning the Christ, the one whom the apostles had preached, the one whom they had been imprisoned for, the one who they would be imprisoned for, the one for whom all but one would die. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, He who will save. In what is salvation found? Can it, for example, be found in the world? It seems to be the case that to say that would contradict the very question itself. Because to say that salvation could be found in the world is to say that salvation could be found in the very place that opposes God. The world, as set apart from the church, is referred to in Scripture as a place of darkness, as a place of spiritual abandonment, as a place that is without and outside of God, a place that is opposed to God. It's said in the Scriptures that if you are not of God, then you are of the world. And so to say that salvation could be, for example, found in the world would be to contradict the very idea of salvation. Because it would be to say that I could be saved by the God whom I oppose. But if it's not found in the world, then in what is it found? It's a very serious question, a very controversial question. But it's a wonderful question to ask. I love it when someone asks me, what must they do to be saved? In what must they be to be saved? Questions of that nature, because to ask the question is to show an honest desire to know. To ask in what I must be found, in what I must be to be saved, is to honestly desire to know where I must be. To know what I must be doing. To know whom I must be pleasing in order to one day go to heaven. And when we ask that question, we show our honest desire. And so this morning, with that question in mind, we turn to the Scriptures to find in what is salvation found. And first of all, I don't think really anybody in the religious world would question me or deny or take opposition with me in our first point by saying that salvation is in Christ. Everyone will acknowledge that. That if you're going to one day go to heaven, that is provided by Christ and offered by Christ, that we must then be in Christ. The Bible makes it very clear, it indicates throughout it, that in Christ is salvation. When He made the promise to His apostles in John 14 regarding their comfort, because He was going to prepare a place for them and for us as well, and that He was coming again to receive them unto Himself, that where He is, they then could be also. It's obviously found in verse 6 that salvation is in Christ. "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation then is in Christ. The means of going to the Father is through Christ. But even though no one would really take opposition to this point, I want us in our unprejudiced minds and our minds without preconceived notions to start from the very beginning and realize that salvation is in Christ and to realize how the Bible illustrates that point. The Bible in numerous verses, and even in verses that we're not going to have time to mention this morning, indicates in some way that redemption or salvation is connected to being in Christ. And it's important that we get that word in our minds, because it's going to play a very important role as we progress in our study this morning. That salvation, that redemption, that the opportunity to go to heaven, to be blessed, to inherit that eternal land, is found in Christ. And the first way in which the Bible illustrates and indicates that is in Romans 3:24, when it says that redemption is in Christ. Paul said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so salvation is in Christ because redemption is in Christ. Number two, Paul again in Romans 8 and verse 1 this time indicated that there is now no condemnation in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so in the same way redemption is in Christ, there is no condemnation in Christ. Number three, Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:2 referred to sanctification that is in Christ. We've talked about the word or the idea of sanctification to some extent the last few weeks, but it means simply to be set apart. And God allows the opportunity to be set apart, to be sanctified. But salvation is in Christ because sanctification is in Christ. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Number four, this time in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, it's Paul again that says that we are made alive in Christ. He's talking about a spiritual life versus spiritual death. And the means by which we can be made alive is by being in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so salvation is in Christ because it's in Christ that we are made alive. Number five, Paul again in 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that salvation is in Christ because triumph is in Christ. Now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. We can spiritually be triumphant. We can gain the victory over sin and over death by being where? In Christ. And so salvation is in Christ because we are triumphant in Christ. Next, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says that we become new creatures in Christ. If there be any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we desire to put off the old creature of sin and shame, the one who is destined unto condemnation, and we want to be made alive and become a new creature, the only means by which we can do that is by being in Christ. And so salvation is in Christ because we become new creatures in Christ. Next, in Galatians 2:4, Paul indicated that we have liberty in Christ. Again, he's talking about spiritual liberty rather than being in the bondage of sin. We can have spiritual freedom. We can be liberated in Jesus Christ. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have where? In Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And so salvation is in Christ because liberty is in Christ. Next, again in Galatians 3, Paul says that unity in salvation is in Christ. He says there that there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Why? Because we're all one in Christ Jesus. He's talking about being saved, that there's no other means of salvation, whether we're male or female, whether we're bond or free, whether we're Jew or Greek. We're all saved by the same one in the same way. And so that unity of salvation is in Christ. Therefore, salvation is in Christ. Next, in Ephesians 1:3, Paul says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. And I would say that salvation is a spiritual blessing, in addition to all the many others that we have as children of God. And so therefore, if heaven is a spiritual blessing, and all spiritual blessings are in Christ, salvation is in Christ. Next, in Ephesians 3:6, Paul said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. And so salvation is in Christ because the promise is in Christ. But then we go on to Philippians 3:14, and Paul says that the prize of the high calling is in Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling, that gift which is of God, which shall never grow old and shall never pass away. Heaven itself. Paul says that that promise, that prize, is found in Christ. And so therefore salvation is in Christ. In 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul said that the promise of life is in Christ. In opening the book, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, if we desire to be partakers of the promise of life, Paul says that we must be found in Christ, because that's where the promise of life is found. And if the promise of life is in Christ, salvation then is in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul said again that we find grace in Christ. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If we desire to be partakers of the grace that is able to save us, we must then be in Christ. And again, especially regarding that note, it's so very important that we realize that grace is found in Christ. And so therefore, we receive grace when we enter into Christ. And so because grace is in Christ, salvation is in Christ. But a final verse that we're going to look at regarding this particular point comes from 2 Timothy 2:10, which sums up the point in its entirety. Because Paul says himself, verbatim, salvation is in Christ. There I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is where? In Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so in what is salvation found? Paul himself in every instance by inspiration answers the question. He says redemption's in Christ. He says there's no condemnation in Christ. Sanctification's in Christ. We're made alive in Christ. We triumph in Christ. We become new creatures in Christ. We have liberty in Christ. We're unified in salvation in Christ. We receive spiritual blessings in Christ. The promise is in Christ. The prize of the high calling is in Christ. The promise of life is in Christ. Grace is in Christ. And to sum it all up, salvation is in Christ. And so in the first part of answering our question, in what is salvation found, it's very simply stated, salvation is in Christ. But to simply stop at that answer and to say that that's all we need to know is really to deny ourselves the further knowledge God has provided. Because God didn't simply leave it at saying salvation is in Christ. He progressed to tell us what that means. It's enough to know salvation is in Christ, but to know that, we must know what that means. Because as I said, the religious world as a whole will not argue the idea that salvation is in Christ. What they will argue is what it means when we say salvation is in Christ. What does the Bible teach regarding salvation being in Christ? Well, in order to clear up any confusion that we might have and to better understand the topic ourselves, we now move away from the idea that salvation is in Christ, and we realize the Bible goes on to teach that salvation is in the body. Salvation is in the body. What is the body? We oftentimes talk about the body of Christ, the body of His dear Son, the one body of Ephesians 4. What then is the body? Well, in Romans 12:5, Paul said, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Paul referred to himself and his brethren in Rome as being in one body where? In Christ. And so to answer the question, what is the body, we just briefly say, well, the body is that which is in Christ. And if salvation is in Christ, and the body is in Christ, would it not then be able to be said that salvation is found in the body? Both being found in Christ where salvation is. So therefore, salvation is in Christ, salvation has to be in the body. If salvation is in the body, and Paul referred to himself and his brethren as being one body in Christ, we find that, very easily put, then the one body are those who are going to be heirs of every promise that we just talked about for a few minutes, about being redeemed, about not being condemned, about being sanctified, and everything that we just listed. By being in the body, we are able then to enjoy every one of those blessings, both now and in that time which is to come, in that vast eternity, where there shall be no end. And so what is the body? The body is in Christ. But what awaits the body? It must be an important thing to be in the body, because Paul and other writers so many times talked about being in the body, and what was in the body, and what it meant to be in the body, and what awaits the body. In Ephesians 5:23, Paul was speaking of husbands and wives and the family, and he uses an illustration. And he says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of" who? Paul said He's the Savior of the body. And so therefore, as the body is that which is in Christ, Paul says salvation is awaiting the body. Brethren, if salvation is awaiting the body, I want to be in this body. Christ is the head of this body. I want Christ to be my head. I want Him to be my master, my Lord. If I desire that, where must I then be in the body? Where Christ is the head and where salvation is found. And saying that the body is inseparable from the head, then could we not say that those in the body are going to be where Christ is? Christ is the head. You can't separate the head from the body. So where Christ is, so then shall be the body. Well, we mentioned John 14 a minute ago. And the apostles in that instance are somewhat distressed because Christ has been talking about His departure. And they are so very used to Him being around that they wonder what is going to become of them once He departs from them. And in John 14, Christ says unto them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Well, Christ Himself then says, He as the head is going to be in a particular place. In fact, He said He's going there to prepare it. A place where there's many mansions, a place that's referred to as His Father's house. Well, when Christ left this earth, where then did He go? Daniel 7:13 and 14 prophesied that the one whom would come, the Messiah, Daniel saw in the night visions one like behold unto the Son of Man, who was came before the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God. And the one whom he sees like unto the Son of Man is the Son of Man. It's Jesus Christ ascending back unto the Father after his resurrection. And in Acts 1 we see that very thing happening. That after his promising to them that they would receive power from on high, and that they would be witnesses of him throughout all the world, it said of Christ in verse 9 that he then was called up into heaven. And so where is the head of this body right now? He's in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. And if you can't separate the body from the head, and where the head is, so then shall be the body. Where's the body going to be in heaven? The right hand of the Father. Where Paul said in Romans 8, we are going to be joint heirs with him. And so what awaits the body? Eternal salvation. Redemption. The place where we shall live forever. And so we know what the body is. We know what awaits the body, but who is the body? And it's important that we understand this as we move on into our final point. Who is the body? Well, just as Paul said in Ephesians 5:23 that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, in Ephesians 1:22 and 23, Paul again said, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, who is the body? Paul said that the body is the church. The church that was prophesied of in the Old Testament, the church that was in the workings while Christ walked this earth and served and preached, and the church that was established in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. That's the church. That's the body. The one in where salvation is found. In Colossians 1:18, Paul again referring to Christ said, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ is the head of the body, and Paul then indicates the body is the church, the one in which salvation is found, the one that was established by Jesus Christ, and upon the fact that Christ is the Son of God. And so no other conclusion can be found from the Scriptures other than that the body, where salvation is the church. And so if we conclude that salvation is in the body of Christ, and the body is the church, where then is salvation? In the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ, the church for which Christ died. It's not a name, brethren. It's a description. It indicates a group of people who have been bought and redeemed by the blood of Christ, who believe the Bible in its entirety and follow it to the fullest, and live their lives for the very one who came and died for them, the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Him. And so salvation is in Christ. But also salvation is in the body. And so therefore salvation is in the church. How many churches though are there? Well, if the church is the body, Paul said in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. In that particular chapter, in that section of Scripture, Paul indicates 7 points of unity. And he refers to each of them as one. There is one God, one Father, one Spirit. And in 4:4 he says there is one body. And they're all equal as far as importance. And so basically then we can say that in the same way that there is only one God, then there is only one body. And the body then is the church. And so how many churches are there? The Bible says just one. The one in which we can be saved. But which one is that? Well, we go back to the text of our lesson, the one that we read at the very beginning. In Acts 4 and verse 12, Luke had said that neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, if salvation is in the body, therefore being in the church, and salvation is not found in any other than Christ, this church then must have a connection to Christ. It must be a church that belongs to Christ. It must be a church that Christ intentioned and established and has saved. And so if I must be in the body to be saved, and the church is the body, and the church belongs to Christ, and the name in which I will be saved is Christ, then from the Scriptures, not from my mind, not from what I grew up hearing and believing, not from any of that, brethren, solely and only from the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, can it not be concluded that salvation is in the church, the one that was founded and established in the New Testament, the one that sticks to the New Testament pattern in all that we do and say? Salvation then is in the church of Christ. In Romans 16:16, we find Paul obviously having a connection with some who he referred to as the church of Christ, to salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you, those with whom he had a personal connection, that of which he was a member. And brethren, it was Paul himself in 2 Timothy 4:8 who was able to say, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Why was it he was able to say that? Because he had a personal relationship with Christ in his body, in his church, the one that is scriptural in all facets of thought, in establishment, in doctrine, in practice, in worship, in teaching. The one that sticks to the Bible regarding everything. The one that said, that does not say, "I know the Bible says this, but." Rather, the one that sticks to the old paths. The one that God purposed. So then, how do I enter that? I want to be saved, brethren. And if I am wrong in any point, ever in my life, in such a way that my soul is going to be condemned because of it, I want someone to tell me that. Because I want to be saved. And if salvation is in Christ, and salvation is in His body, and salvation is in His church, that's where I want to be. But how do I get there? How do I enter? Well, in Acts 2, 37 and 38, there was a group of people that had the same question. Now, when they heard this, in other words, Peter saying, "The same Jesus whom you have crucified is now both Lord and Master." When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, in Acts 2:41, what happened? Wasn't there a group of people who did that? It said of them that they that gladly received His word, what happened? They were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What happened at the point of baptism? They were added to something. That of which they were added was the church, the body, that in which salvation is found. And Paul summed it up so perfectly clear in Galatians 3:27 when he said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have" what? "Have put on Christ." Now at the beginning of our sermon this morning, we indicated the importance of one very fundamental fact. And that was to realize the importance of the word "in." Salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in the body. Salvation is in the church. That all means the same thing, brethren. To say that salvation is in Christ is equal to saying salvation is in the body. And is equal to saying salvation is in the church. What then does that mean? How do I get in Christ? Paul said, you're baptized into Christ that you might be in Christ. Friends, if you're not a member of that church this morning, the body of the redeemed, that in which salvation is found, by all means, don't take my word for it. Don't do it just because I say to do it. Don't do it just because anybody else says to do it. Do it first and foremost because you love God, you want to keep His commandments, and you want to be with Him for all eternity. Do it because He says do it. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be added to that same church in which salvation is found. We've indicated which one that is this morning. That's the means of entrance. If you're already in that church and yet have in some way fallen away, have abandoned God, have walked off the pathway of righteousness, His plan to you is to come back. Restore your soul unto His cause. Be redeemed once again by the blood of His dearly beloved Son. Do it now. Salvation is in that church. Enter it. Do what you must. But if you're subject, do it now. While together we stand and sing.